Narcissistic personality disorder. If you would have said narcissistic personality disorder years ago, I would have to say before into new therapy that I'm under, a trauma therapy, I wouldn't know what the hell you're talking about. I remember, like I said before, a psychologist in Ohio I saw for over 10 years, and it was more just releasing emotional stuff I was going through, the same hell, felt like a damn fog. I realized it was like a narcissistic trance. Remember him asking me point blank, sitting down. He had like, oh my gosh, his whole office was like, something has stepped out of that 70s show. 70s was his era. And he embraced it. I mean, he's like, you know what? I'm going all out. His hair, I mean, he had like that Mr. Brady perm. I'm not joking. He loved anything 70s. And it's ironic because I made Buckeyes for friends of mine that I met in the area, and they have a business in the area that I live. And the interesting part is I made them Buckeyes, and I used to always make him Buckeyes this time of the year. And that's something, as he said, I would look forward to. I had seen him nine years, just a little under, shy of 10 years before I moved out of state. I was trying to escape the narcissistic cult-like trance, abuse, activity, ganging up, whatever you want to say, truth. I remember her looking at me on the couch, and he just sat there and he said, can I ask you a question? I said, yes. And he says, do you understand what narcissism is? I said, yes. I was actually lying. Because to be quite frank, now that I'm older and wiser, and the truth, seriously, is I had no idea really what being narcissistic meant. Or narcissistic personality disorder, even, I mean, I am sure he brought that to my attention, but I didn't know what it was. But I didn't want to seem stupid or naive or gullible or anything, so I would just shake my head yes. But I had no idea. His counterpart, which was his superior, is a psychiatrist, and all his clients he'd have go twice a year just to reevaluate and see if there was any depression or anything for cases that he had, which really, you know, I was then diagnosed with clinical anxiety in Ohio, but I realized through medical records, through vision, through disability, and that, through my advocate, is that my anxiety started way before my adulthood. My anxiety stemmed all the way to late adolescence years, early teenage years. And now that I realize it, there's a lot of blank memories, a lot of huge portions of my life that I don't remember. And usually when people don't remember huge sections in their life is because they went through something really bad or constant, or it was an environment or something toxic, something not good, to where your body, your brain actually protects itself. And you have like a, well, let's just say lapse of memory. And I have a huge, tremendous amount of portions of my life I have no idea, I don't remember. Going through therapy now, which is logical thinking, not the emotional thinking, and emotional therapy, which I went through with the psychologist in Ohio. This is with trauma therapy. This is a whole nother breed, a whole nother part of specialty therapy that I really needed, probably needed to start it way before 2 years ago. I would not have put up with things and made such critical mistakes. I would have learned the essence and down to the nitty-gritty and damning most evil portions and parts of narcissistic personality disorder, covert narcs, malignant narcs, scapegoats, flying monkeys, gaslighting, making you think like you're crazy, you know? Oh, it's just you, yeah. You ever talk to somebody who's narcissistic personality disorder, narcissist? And you know what you're saying? Hey, listen, you know what? And then they'll literally flip the script and pretend like they don't even know I had any idea what you're talking about. I have no idea what you're talking about. Oh my God, I have no idea what you're talking about. I have no idea. They'll take it to the grave. I won't admit it. They'll take it to the grave. They weren't joking. That was a joke. What the hell? And then you get older and you get wiser, and then you remove yourself from toxicity, and you have this time, this open amount of time to literally allow your brain to get out of the fight or flight mode, because you're around someone who has narcissistic personality disorder and a malignant narc, a scary-ass narc, okay? And then they gang together and it becomes a cult in a group. and you're constantly dealing with the ramifications and the gaslighting and the constant poking and prying, it's abuse. Psychological warfare is what both therapists have called it over the last 2 years, psychological warfare. That's what it is. There is no care in the world what they're doing. The whole goal is to literally just annihilate and destroy. That's it. In order to protect a perfect image. Because narcissistic people have nothing but this mirage, mask-filled closet of whatever needs to be in order to perceive a perfect image to the rest of the world, the public. Heaven forbid anybody ever saw the true demonic, demon, dark side of these individuals. This is the truth, so help me God. They will fabricate. They will lie. They'll do whatever they have to do. And people that are supply, we're talking about bullseye target, scapegoats, however you want to slice and dice it. When you're dealing with somebody who is a serious narc, but a dangerous kind of narc, because they'll do anything they can to take whatever, turn them into that kind of person. I don't know, because I mean, I think from my therapist's point of view is, you know, most of the time as therapists, and there's not a lot of therapists that are well-versed with narcissistic personality disorder. I've just got blessed and fortunate that the therapists that I'm under, both of them are very, very extremely well-educated and well-versed with narcissistic personality disorder. One of them has actually wrote many, many articles for a newspaper where they reside about narcissistic personality disorder. And they literally take letters from the public and they answer them in forums. This is the truth. So I was literally, as they said, you were not well-versed at all. In fact, you were not educated. You had no idea. You're agreeing, yes, I know what somebody being narcissistic is. You thought arrogant. That's what I thought. I never would have ever imagined this dark side, because really it's all it is a very dark, evil side of someone. These kind of people have no empathy at all. They have no sympathy. They have no heart at all. They don't care how you're connected or who you are. They don't give a damn. There was some serious something in their past. I've actually confronted one of my narcs, and I asked him point blank, you know, you never really mentioned anything about your past or whatever, or I'm just curious about upbringing and blah, blah, blah. And I did it like in a way where I'm curious, you know, history. No, thanks. That was the response I got. No, thanks. To a therapist stance, oh, there's definitely something in the past that made this person a very, very malignant narc, the most dangerous kind possible. The perfection persona is preserved, and they will literally take you down past the ground if they could to preserve it. You try to challenge it or threaten it, watch out. They'll come after you with everything they got, and they'll get whoever they can closest to them to gang up to. Becomes, as I said before, on the one article, a sport, a group sport, the most deranged, disturbing group sport ever for people to gang up and have no empathy, sympathy, or any respect for mankind, a human being, is the most disturbing ass people you'll ever come across. To get out of the fog of being under not just one, but a group, a cult, a gang of narcissistic people is the most challenging exit you will ever face in your life. When you get out of it, everything else is just easy peasy, because being under a microscope with these kind of people is the damn scariest thing. It makes the mob and hits look like nothing. It's not a joke. I did not know. I wasn't well-versed. I wasn't educated. I had no idea. And that's the truth. Until I stepped into trauma therapy, until the first thing we talked about, and the first thing that came out of their mouth is, I want you to understand that you are experiencing the essence of narcissistic personality disorder by a gang and a group. I like to call them a cult. I went through prior notes with your psychologist, you know, and we talked about things for a good, I would say month before they literally explained why they felt that way right from jump. And it took me to this point, I would say this year, probably the last several months to really fully educate myself and understand from a clinical therapist, licensed therapist, point of view of what the hell I was dealing with. And getting to the point, as they said, is you have to get to the point where your exit is done. You're going to come to a crossroad one day because your staying power is hurting you. Yes, a friend of yours is right. Your loyalty is hurting you. But your loyalty, as they told me, what got me was, as they said, your loyalty to these group of people and cult and trying to continue over and over again. And I know why you're doing it, because these are the people that should be in your life, and they're anything but. They're not. They're doing everything not to be. They're showing you an action. One voiced it. Kim, you think anybody cares about you? We don't care about you. You're stupid. Nobody cares about you. In Ohio, in my house in Ohio, in front of Eric. That was the only one ballsy and brazen and bold enough to literally say it. And that is sheer arrogance of a narcissistic person. I did everything to try to work things out, to try to get into a group type of setting. I even had a therapist in Ohio offer their office for a group setting or a third party. No, 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 hell no. Don't like psychologists. Never see a psychologist. I don't believe in them. You don't believe in them for trauma therapists because you don't want to hear the truth and you don't want to be put in your place, because they would have literally been put in their place and jump. Because the things and the behavior and the actions are downright past the point of really twisted, crazy ass stuff. That's the truth. It's not a joke. It's not a lie. There's none of this. But to a narc, oh, this is all a joke. Oh, she's doing it for attention. What attention? What attention? What? That I'm actually at the point now where I've healed enough to be able to talk about the craziness. It's the truth. I went through it. And you dished it. You know, the hardest time of all times, you know, it wasn't like during Easter, or it couldn't have been like it's something else. It had to have been when I'm going through figuring out what the hell this damn tumor the size of a cantaloupe is. While I'm going through this, I'm dealing with the malignancy of the head narc, of just constantly pounding me and pounding me and pounding me, and over and over and over again. Every time I turn around, something. Restraining orders, sued, 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 this. And behind the scenes, they're directing this, per everyone that knew what was going on, third party superiors. They're the one leading all this. And they're probably standing back and just smiling. Didn't get her yet. Try something different. Let's make up that her podcast and the blog, somebody's calling you and they're saying they're going to kill you when you step out of blah, 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 blah. And they see the problem was, is the biggest mistake they made is they forgot they used that excuse for a restraining order, and then they try to do it again. And then what happens is when judges and them can look through all the court systems, read everything, and they see someone misusing and abusing the court system with restraining orders. And these type of narcissistic people will literally just go ahead and tell anybody and everybody to do their dirty work for them. No matter if they live in state, people they don't know, they will fabricate, they will slander, whatever they can do. Yeah, do a restraining order. Do a restraining order. And then you have judges going, what? You don't even know this person. Like, who is this to you? No, deny. Didn't work. The games that they play are the most psychological, damning, abusive ass games from a malignant narc leading the cult. There's always a head of the snake. And to strip that mask off and then realized who the head of the snake was the most goddamn thing I've ever experienced in my life. To literally lift that because they slipped on the phone. Well, what if somebody calls and they're wanting to kill or whatever because of the podcast? What? Of who? What name? Who? Where's the first and last name? Where? In the back of my mind, I'm realizing I now have figured out who's using and misabusing the court system for restraining orders that are meant for serious matters where people are literally getting a gun to their head, they're getting raped, kids, sexual extortion. We're talking serious stuff. Not because you want to shut somebody up from sharing their journey, the good, the bad, and the dirty, and you happen to be part of it, is because you had a place. There's people in everyone's journey. That's life. But to a narc, they don't want to be part of that journey. No matter how damning and how cruel they've been, they will do everything they can to silence you and shut you. If they had the key and could lock you up and throw you in the sea, they'd do it too. It's the truth. Sorry. It's the truth. Sorry. I'm not sorry. You'll have to be able to experience it firsthand to know what the hell. Which really, in reality, you have to have a licensed clinical therapist to really dissect it. And logical sense being, like I had for 2 years, to figure out what the hell you're dealing with. From the people that should be the last and they're the first. Not strangers. Not friends. Not your coworker. Not even your damn neighbor. They were just drawn into the stuff. They don't know you. They have no idea. They just believe in one side. They don't see you. They don't realize why. Kept to yourself. They don't understand why I kept to myself. I was trying to mentally heal from some really far-fetched, crazy-ass SHRT truth. During the time when I literally had to focus 1,000,000,000% on finding out what this tumor is, it's shutting my body down. Blood vessels ready to rupture, and I'm rushed in to treatment at the hospital through oncology. But the malignant narc wants to scream and cry that they had no idea where I was at. Yeah, you did. I have phone records that show I talked to you every day, and you knew, and you asked how the extension of the hospital was going on that was being built. Jewish Hospital, mind you, in Cincinnati, Ohio. You know exactly where I was at. But if it makes you feel better, till the day God calls you home, because you said before, when you went to my doctors, every single doctor, and you were interfering with my care, and I found out because the flying monkey that you sent off to do your dirty work literally told me in front of Eric. And then when you were confronted by Eric face to face, you literally said, wasn't planning on her finding out, planning on taking it to the grave. That's not normal behavior at all from you, of all people. It's not normal. It's the most damning, disturbing thing. And that's when I should have literally, per therapist, did your exit right there. That was your exit call, Kim. That was the exit. That was the end. See you later. Over. But you were so shocked. You couldn't figure out what this meant, what was going on. It's a true form of narcissism. You're in this fog because people that are literally like brainwashed and going through all this stuff, and they'll gaslight you and make you feel like you're crazy. Blame me, making up this horrible person. Now they're telling everybody you're a horrible person. They're making all this BS up. But realistically, it's interesting, the naive people that fall for it. Naive, let me say, what makes you naive when you fall for it is you only heard one side. Are you a good church person? Because you're not. Thou shalt not judge. Remember that Christmas when you go, if you go to church, whoever believed one side. You need to hear both sides before you go passing any kind of judgment. But when you have someone that's literally going, oh, she's sick and she's going through treatment, and it's taken me 17 doctors and surgeons to figure out what the hell this huge tumor is, and then rushed to oncology, let's go ahead, let me grab my recruits, my flying monkeys, and let's literally go after her together as a cult, per therapist, and do everything we can. The end, the grand hoo-la-la, was finding out through a stand-in attorney, attorney at stand-in judge. They literally tried to put you in jail. Why? What? Because of, they don't want you using certain words on anything that has to do with podcast, blog, anything. The judge threw it out. Same judge. Got all of it thrown out. Truth. 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 I was told by that stand-in judge attorney, stay away from them. It's not healthy. It's not good. It's not safe. For you, stay away. Chief of police, stay away from them. Period. You have no idea. Ma'am, you have no idea. Stay away from them. Not healthy for you. And I didn't listen again. Because I didn't understand what the hell is going on. What is going on? I was so confused. I was so stressed by it. On top of it, I'm sick. And this was before even pain management days. And I have an atrocious amount of pain because I'm scared of going under pain management. I'm scared of choosing palliative or hospice. I'm scared. So I'm dealing with the gaslighting and the bull, you know what, brainwashing, abuse, trauma, whatever the hell you want to call it, from not one, but multiple narcs banding together, whether they are seasoned narcs or new recruits, flying monkeys, whatever you want to say, malignant narc, excuse me, whatever. And it wasn't until this last couple of years. Staying power your loyalty is dangerous. It's going to be killing you. The stress alone is going to kill you because they're going to be ruthless and they're continue to be ruthless, and they have. And they don't care. That one was right. They don't care about you. They never did. If they did, they would have been there for you. They've shown you by actions how to show out, not show up. They're showing you by actions how not to change, because I don't want to change. I don't want to work on anything. I don't want to sit down counseling. I don't want nothing. But they've showed you how to exclude you and to treat you like you're dead and gone. Because in their mind, you are. But you're not the first. And unfortunately, the cycle is not broken. Cousin said curse. It's not broken. It's already begun on the next generation. That's the damning reality. Why? Is because when narcissism is in family dynamics, as I'm told by a therapist who's licensed, educated, and does articles for their newspaper, is it continues on the cycle over and over and over again. At each generation, next one, the next one, the next one, the next one. And you'll have people that try to break the cycle, but it's unstoppable. Because there's always within the family dynamics when you have narcissism, you have the one, the cult leader, therapist calls it cult, because the behavior and actions gang together is very cult. It's identical to what cults do. Brainwashing, gaslighting, you feel like you're crazy. Yeah, doing anything they can to silence you, whether they'll lock up the key and throw you out in the ocean to suffer. I mean, that's their opinion. Strong opinion. Not a joke. It continues on the next generation over and over and over again. It doesn't stop. But there comes to a point when the scapegoat, their role is over. And it really depends on the staying power within the scapegoat. In general, as my friend said, you are loyal to a fault and you end up hurting yourself because you're so loyal. That's part of being an empath, but also wearing my heart on my sleeve. And it has been the most trying point of trauma therapy, which is, I mean, it sounds probably crazy to most people, but not to me, is it has taken me this long to start beginning to use a logical sense of stop wearing my heart on the sleeve. Stop, Kim, being so empathetic. Stop before you do it over again and make the same mistake. Stop before you do it. Think, okay, wait a minute, hold up. Therapists are right. Stop, because you're hurting yourself in the long run when you give your heart freely to the wrong people that don't deserve your heart. They don't deserve you. The next one is always up to bat. You'll know. If you're a scapegoat, black sheep, however you want to call it, village, community, family, whatever, cult, group, whatever, I don't know, witchcraft, I don't know, everybody does whatever they want, whatever you'll call it, you know, you're going to know when your position is over. When your title is over, it's because there's going to be something that happens. Not by a therapist literally putting your hand and slapping your hand saying it's over, okay? Because no therapist, I was told, would sit there and educate you forever. Kim, you have the tools. You've had the tools for 2 years. You got to apply them, because I can't force you to apply them. And if you don't apply them, Kim, you're going to continue choosing the wrong people in your life. You're going to continue the wrong people, allowing them to continue in your life, damaging your life, destroying your life, and you're allowing it. So you got to get to the point of your own to know when my role and my duty is up, as they say, role and duty, because that's what it is. You have a title within these people, whatever you'll call it, black sheep, scapegoat, whatever. Okay, you got to know when your title's up. But here's the problem. Per my therapist, from what they know and what they see, and let's face it, so social media, people have public social media. Anybody can view your public social media, period. No matter what it is public. There's not a crime. There's nothing against it. You have it public, okay? All right? My podcast is public. Anybody can read it, whatever. I could tell people, quit stalking me or whatever. It's not going to stop. You can't do nothing about it. It's public. Caring Bridge, that's private. Now I have control. I control who's on it, who sees it, and who's part of it. It'll always be that way. Because I'm not getting rid of it. It's a great way for me to be able to take my passion of writing and sharing my journey and truth and sharing it without being chastised, humiliated, threatened, sued, whatever you can find on restraining order, do whatever you want to do. Try to lock me up, throw away the key, whatever, your hatred, whatever you feel is your hatred is deep. The hatred is within yourself. I just feel it. By your actions, I see it. Truth. You have to realize when your role and duty is up. The next person's already in place. When I was told that last week, and it's been just not me, you know, saying things, explaining and seeing prior notes, but literally, what are these individuals' names? And having literally somebody who cares enough to literally do their own research, as they say, do my own research. I believe what you're saying, but let me research, because as a mental health provider, I know what I'm looking for when it comes to narcissistic personality disorder. As they said, clearly, there's already somebody in place. Who's the next one in line? And they're already there. They're already in place. It's just when you decide to hang up the coat because your role is over, the title's over, it's done. That's it. It's over. There's no more. It's a disassociation to the extreme, let's just say. It's over. And you got to decide when. I decided when I realized 13 years of holidays have been not even close to the word normal. I know what a normal holiday means. Holidays in the United States, as well as overseas, I mean, it depends on where you're at, you know, because different religions and villages and communities, wherever you listen to For Yourself, My Journey Around the World, is different. But in how I feel in the United States, living in the United States over 13 years, is any celebrations or holidays or special events or once-lifetime events have not been normal because I've not been included or invited or even part of. It's called disassociation. Ousted, whatever you want to say. Like you're dead already? That's how I feel. I'm allowed to feel how I feel. I feel like I'm dead already. To the same people. Okay? When you realize you're on 13 years and you don't have holidays, especially Christmas, you don't have the big celebrations, you don't have, I can't tell you last time I sat down as a unit or a whole eating dinner, opening up gifts, being around kids that have no idea I even exist. And I'd never met them. They didn't do anything to me and I didn't do anything to them. Well. One thing I'll say on that, I'm going to say it again, and I'll say it how many times ever I feel like, okay, is being married to Eric, you know, when being married to Eric, and it was a normal marriage, is, you know, my stepson, you know, I married both people, and I'm telling you right now, when it came to indifferences with his family, Eric's family, okay, and they had their indifferences, okay, there's dysfunction there, right? Is one thing is you don't talk about it in front of kids and you don't talk poorly about anyone or how you feel about anyone in front of kids. Because I was a kid once and I heard that stuff and that stuff stays with you forever and it causes severe just confusion in young children. And every time Eric would slip up, I'd be like, no, I literally look at him, don't do it. Don't do that in front of him. No. That's being a motherly person, a good role mother. A role model as a mother. I've always wanted kids. It's the truth. And protecting the young minds. You don't do that. I never, ever once took the right away from my stepson to spend holidays and to get to know new family members, whether they married into the family, whether they were newborn babies, infants, whatever, cousins. I never, ever, ever, ever took that right away. Nor would I ever, as an adult with a heart, take that right away from any child to get to know their entire family. There's something to be said, per my trauma therapist, of any adult who keeps kids away from getting to know their entire family. There are no excuses but excuses. unless you have someone within a family masterminding and manipulating others to keep kids away. Some kids sometimes, as you said, they grow up to be adults and then they pivot them against other family members, whether a parent, grandparents, cousins, siblings, whatever. That's part of narcissism. Sorry, coming from a therapist. I'm just told so I can make sense logically of it. You don't do that. I realized after 13 years and I go through photo albums I have over the past 3 weeks and I've noticed a huge void of 13 years of photo albums. That why am I continuing to, as a therapist said and a friend said, being loyal and continuing to try with people that don't give a damn about me. It's not how I feel. It's the actions behind it. And I feel nothing but hatred from them. Why would I continue? Why do I need to continue? I don't need to continue. And I'm done. And that was the pivotal turn of hanging up my coat and my title, whether black sheep, scapegoat, whatever you call it. And that was it. Because the other person's already role is in play. They took over my role, whether they know it or not. They are the next one in line for the next generation. They're already being groomed, whatever, whatever. I can warn them, I can say, it doesn't matter. Because my therapist sees them of how I am, of being in this fog. And they're taking this and things presented to them and things going on as something different than the bigger picture, what's really going on, which is how someone narcissistic works and operates. That role as a black sheep and scapegoat doesn't stop. It doesn't, as a cousin said on my dad's side, extended family, is this is the truth, is a curse because they're dealing with almost identical same stuff. As she said, I literally destroyed the family. You know, I literally destroyed everything. And I realized who it was the whole time. And you know, Kim, it was disturbing as hell. But then I realized other parts of the bloodline are going through the same thing. We're all cursed. No, it's just a generational thing that doesn't stop. It never did. It went way, way, way back. Way back. Way back. Way back. It's just, as my therapist said, as, you know, she's an empath, a straight shooter, and she approached you, reached out. She told you the facts and what it was and what it is. This is what it is. You just didn't understand what she was trying to say. Because you didn't know narcissism. You just thought it meant arrogance. That's not what's going on. It never was going on. There's a lot more there. You know? My role's over. It's done. I would rather, and this is the truth, I'd rather live in a tent. I'd rather sleep on the road and be surrounded by animals and strangers that care about me and have a little bit of compassion and concern than people who shouldn't be, that aren't strangers, but act as such, that don't give a damn either way. You know? That would walk by and not even think twice. No, sorry. Role's over. Title's up. The coat's hung. Now it's about at this place in my life where I'm starting new, and next year there's a lot of changes that'll happen next month, and taking everything that I have learned through therapy, I'll continue with therapy, specialized therapy. There's no end to it. I'm thankful to have insurance to where there's no limit on my visits either, but I'm applying what I've learned and actually applying it. Because my therapist can't force me to apply what I need to, and neither could the psychologist in Ohio either. I had to learn the hard way, and I stayed. My staying power was damning. My empathetic ways was hurtful. And I had to learn the hard way. Because I got 13 years in photo albums where I have nothing for holidays, special events, and things that I should remember. Yeah. Anybody with kids and you have someone dictating who your kids can and cannot see over and over and over and over again. If it's not you doing it, if somebody's controlling that per therapist, you may want to put yourself in your kid's shoes sometime. Because I know I do with my stepson. Because no matter how somebody may feel about your kid or kids getting to meet someone or knowing someone or knowing they even exist, is not their business. It's your business as a parent or parents to allow their kid or children the right to get to know everyone and not be limited and never to get adult indifferences or pettiness and put it in between or in the minds of young children, because that is not okay. If I ever did that to my stepson, I would not be okay with that. I would not be okay with me making that decision. Because no matter what the indifferences were with Eric's side and with him, it never ever was I ever going to let that interfere with the young child's right to get to spend time with their cousins and new cousins and getting to know the adults. But it didn't operate. It doesn't operate all the time that way. Because you will have, in a very narcissistic cult-like group, you will have those that'll dictate and control and make sure that the next ones that are in line and the next and the new part of the generation, new part of the group or village, whatever, that they make sure to know and they'll never get to know that person. They'll never get to be around them. Never, never, never. It's a pity, but it's a controlling mechanism and it's punishment. It's the truth. Speak up, I'm not trying to punish you. Continue speaking up, start selling the truth. All of a sudden, the image is getting tarnished. A narc's image is getting tarnished because the truth's coming out there. They're going to come after you with everything they got. Let them. You're going to have people that you won't even realize outside, standing in the outside circle and looking in. And they're going to protect you with everything they got. Trust me. When you get to the point like I did, your role is done. It's over. It's done. 13 years, it's too damn long of a time. My regret is taking that role and ending it sooner than 13 years. I believe 3 months would probably have been sufficient enough. Some would say 3 years. 13 years is a staying power loyalty that hurt me. I have a great, as I said, you know, throughout my lifetime, I have a lot of lapse of time and memory because of things and experiences and environments that were not healthy or safe. I knew better. I ran away multiple times. Things I forgot that with trauma therapy I'm remembering. And all along I realized in my life I always had my best interest at heart. And I did protect myself, whether I was an adult or not. And I have zero regrets. Zero. I don't have any skeletons in my closet. If I ever did anything to anyone out of response, I've already apologized. And it wasn't much. But the behavior and the actions and the cruelty, there is no excuse for those actions from the people who dished it to me for many, many, many grueling years. And to do it at a time and begin was the beginning, was a time per therapist when you were the most vulnerable, when they knew you were an easy bullseye and target while you were sick as hell and your body was shutting down. Was the greatest opportunity for malignant narc to start recruiting the flying monkeys and to band together like a group in a cult and come after you with everything they got. And they did. Documented did. But you're lucky because I had people that gave a damn and cared. And they protected me. But they gave me the greatest gift of my entire life that I needed to really take seriously when I opened it. And that was the gift of sound advice that I needed back then to set myself free.